Genesis 37 and verse number 1. It reads, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." And we'll end there at verse 4, and we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word. Joseph is one of the great characters in the Bible, one of the great character studies. I'm sure we've all our favorite characters as we go through the Bible, but I'm sure that in a list that Joseph would figure near the top of that list. The great Sidlow Baxter, one of the great teachers of the Word of God of years gone by, said that Joseph is the most single, complete type of Christ anywhere in the Bible. And I think that when you study the life of Joseph, that clearly comes across. For example, Joseph was the beloved son. It says here at the beginning of verse 3, "Now Israel," that is Jacob, "loved Joseph more than all his children." My, Joseph was the apple of Jacob's eye. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ was the beloved Son of the Father. When he walked down here, you remember there were times when the heavens opened and a voice was heard to say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Joseph, we see him not only as the beloved son, but as we look at the life of Joseph, we see him as the rejected servant. Because Joseph was hated of his brethren. And it says that his brethren hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Down the chapter a little bit, in verse 8 it says, "And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." And he was hated of his brethren. They, you remember, wanted to kill him. They put him into the pit. And then they sold him to the travelers who passed by, and they brought him down to Egypt. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, when we look at him, we see that he was the rejected servant also. My, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They cried out, "Away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us." And they put him on a cross and nailed him to the tree. So in Joseph we see the beloved son. In Christ we see the beloved son. In Joseph we see the rejected servant. In Christ we see the rejected servant. And then when we look at Joseph again, we see in Joseph the exalted Savior. Because God, in his sovereignty, he brought Joseph to Egypt to be the Savior in the time of famine. You remember that when the famine came, that people came for food. And when they came for food, they were told to go to Joseph. He was the Savior of men and women who needed bread in those days. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, of course we see in him the exalted Savior. My, he came into the world to save sinners. And he died for men and women at Calvary. And he is the bread of life this morning. And all those who need the bread of life, the message for them is, go to Jesus, because only through him can we find the bread of life which gives to us life eternal. So we see in Joseph this great typology. May we see Christ in Joseph as you go through his life. Joseph was fondly loved, yet he was cruelly hated. And we see the evidence of that love and the reason for that hatred in verses 3 and 4 that we have read together here this morning. It says here, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now, why did Jacob love Joseph more than all his children? Well, Joseph was the son of his firstborn. He was his firstborn by Rachel, whom Jacob loved greatly. Joseph wasn't the firstborn in the family. That was Reuben. But remember that Jacob loved Rachel. And his love for Rachel was so great that he served 14 years so that he might have Rachel as his wife. And Joseph was the firstborn of Rachel. And that's why Jacob loved Joseph so greatly. And he gave to Joseph this coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that Jacob their father loved Joseph with this great love, in that he gave him this coat of many colors, that was the reason why they hated Joseph so much. Because the reason for the hatred was the giving of the coat. And this coat was a special coat. In fact, the Hebrew word means a tunic or a garment reaching down to the extremities, and it describes a garment commonly worn in Egypt and in adjacent lands, and it was a long linen robe going down to the ankles and to the wrists. It was a special coat. And this coat of many colors, it was a son's coat. It was a coat given to the son who was destined to be the father's heir. And Jacob gave this coat to Joseph. And you see, friends, it was not only a special coat and a son's coat, but it was a significant coat. It was not the size of the coat that was the important thing. It was not the style of the coat. It was the significance of the coat that caused these brothers to love or to hate Joseph with this hatred. It was what the coat represented that was the problem. It wasn't the appearance of the coat. It was what the coat represented and what the coat spoke about. You see, friends, this coat that Jacob gave to Joseph, it spoke of position. It spoke of position. It indicated that Jacob looked on Joseph as his firstborn, that is, by Rachel, although he was his younger son. It indicated that Jacob looked on him as the heir. Reuben had the right of the birthright. He had the right of the priesthood. He had the right of the rulership of the family, being the firstborn. But he lost all this because of sin. So the coat spoke of position. The coat spoke of priesthood. My Joseph became the family priest in place of Reuben. The coat spoke of priority, because it was the custom for the firstborn to receive the double portion of the father's estate, known as the birthright, my, and this giving of the coat indicated that Jacob was going to give this to Joseph. It spoke of priority. It spoke of privilege. My dear friends, it was a special place. It meant that the one who obtained the coat had a special place in the father's heart. The coat spoke of power, because Joseph now held the highest place in the family apart from the father. So you can see the significance of the coat and the importance of the coat and what the coat spoke of. Now let's apply that this morning. You see, you and I today, we are in the family of God. We are the sons and daughters of God. And just as Jacob loved Joseph with a special love, so God loves each one of us today with a special love. And I believe that God has given to us, to you and I this morning, God has given to us a coat of many colors. Yes. You see, the coat reminds us of our position, that we're children in the family of God. The coat reminds us that we have a priesthood. My, ours is a royal priesthood. In the old economy, it was only the high priest that had the privilege of entering into the holiest of all once every year, and that not without blood, but since Calvary and the veil was rent in twain, every believer has the right and the privilege to enter in to God's presence. We have a royal priesthood. We're a kingdom of priests. The coat reminds us of our priority and of our possessions, that we have an inheritance and that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We cannot number this morning, they're vast, but God has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. And the coat reminds us of power, that we have power with God this morning. Now let's look at it from another angle. My dear friends, I believe that God loves us so much, even more than Jacob loved Joseph. God loves us so much that he has not only given us a coat, but God has given us many coats. He has given us many coats. And he has given us those coats that we might wear them. You know, when you go into the shop and you buy a garment, whether it's a coat or something else, you buy that coat to wear, you take it home, and if it's in the wardrobe, that's not the purpose for which it was bought. It was bought that you might wear it, that you might be attired in it, and you need to put it on. And God has given us many coats this morning, and I trust that we'll put them on. And that's what I want to bring before you just in the time that is allotted to me today. I want to talk about the coats that God has given you and I to wear this morning. You know, the first coat I want to talk about, he has given us a coat for a son, a coat for a son. My, every one of us who belongs to the Lord this morning, God has given each one of us this coat. And this coat is a coat of righteousness. You remember Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 5:21, and he said this, "He that is Jehovah made him, that is Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When he writes to the Romans, he says that he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that coat of righteousness and justification is one in the same. My dear friends, the moment a poor lost sinner believes and accepts Christ as their Savior, they're clothed in the righteousness of God. They are justified. They stand before God just as if they'd never sinned at all. And that's how God sees you and I this morning. He sees us clothed in righteousness, not our own. And it's a righteousness that's imputed to us by faith. I think we see a lovely picture of this in the story of David and Jonathan. You remember back there in 1 Samuel chapter 18? And you remember how that David was the shepherd lad and Jonathan was the king's son. And Jonathan loved David as his own soul. And it says this in 1 Samuel 18 verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And here's the king's son. And the king's son stripped himself and clothed the shepherd boy with the royal garments that belonged to him. You know, friends, the one thing that Jonathan didn't do, he didn't take David's rags. He gave David his robe, but he didn't take David's rags. And that's what the Lord Jesus did for you and I this morning. He took our rags. He took our sins. And he bore them. And he died for them. And he was punished for them. And my, when we exercised faith in him, we were clothed in the righteousness of God. And God sees us no longer in our rags this morning, but God sees us in the righteousness of his son, just as if we'd never sinned. The hymn writer said this, when I stand before the throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see thee as thou art, love thee with unsinning heart, then, Lord, shall I fully know, not till then, how much we owe. Now, this is a coat for a son this morning. It's a coat of righteousness, and each believer has it this morning. My, it's a coat of justification, a coat for a son. Now, when we come over into the New Testament, into the letter to the Ephesians, we find another coat that I believe that God has given to us this morning. And we're at Ephesians chapter 6. Paul's letter to the Ephesians and chapter 6. And we find another coat here. You see, we're not only sons in the family, but we're soldiers in the fight. We're Christian soldiers. And this is a coat for a soldier. A coat for a soldier. Because Paul is pointing out here that the Christian life is a spiritual warfare. And that's exactly what it is. And it's a warfare against a satanical foe. And the devil is the head of that foe. And he underlines, my, the devil's army and the great foe that's against us here in this chapter. He says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Dear friends, we're in a spiritual warfare every day. Every day. And God has given us a coat. It's called the whole armor of God. Because Paul says here to these believers, he says to them, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And God has given us a coat to wear in the battle. It's a coat of preservation. And he says here, he says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. Now he talks about the girdle of truth. We need our loins. Our loins gird about with truth. You know, we get strength from the truth of the Word of God. We need strength in the battle, friends, and we get strength in the Word of God to contend against the powers of evil. And he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and this is the imputed righteousness that we're talking about a moment ago, Now you see, Satan would seek to sow the seeds of doubt in your heart. He would seek to take away the blessed assurance that we get when we come to know the Savior. He would seek to bring us into temptation and so many other things. And that's why we need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Because knowing that we're righteous and that we're accepted in the beloved and that we belong to the Lord and we're His children, my dear friends, it takes away our doubts. My, the imputed righteousness becomes imparted righteousness. And people should see that in our lives every day. God has given us this armor of God. We need strength from the Word. And we need righteousness in our life. And He says, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My, we need to have on the sandals of the gospel. You see, our feet carry us from place to place. They take us to and fro, from here to yonder. And He says, you know, when we go from place to place, we need to carry the gospel with us. We need to bring the message of God's salvation wherever our feet carry us. My, if we're going to defeat the enemy, we need truth. We need righteousness. And we need the gospel. And He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You know, my Paul was thinking of the Roman soldier in the battle in those days. And now they would fire fiery darts or flaming darts at the enemy. And my dear friend, you needed one of these shields to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, lest they would strike you. And you know, Satan fires his flaming darts, his fiery arrows at our hearts. He fires the dart of doubt at our heart. He fires the dart of depression. He fires the dart of temptation. And you know, friends, the only way we'll quench these attacks of the wicked one is with faith in God, taking the shield of faith and knowing that God is round about us, that God is for us, and that of God before us, who can be against us? And He says here, take the helmet of salvation. You know, when you go into the building site or into the factories today, you see the men who work there and have all their helmets on. They're protecting their head from injury. And the devil seeks to get into the mind of people. And he seeks to get down into the mind and disturb our thoughts. And we need to put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit to defeat the enemy. Dear friends, this is a coat that we need to put on if we're going to be victorious in the battle. There's a coat for a son, and there's a coat for a soldier. A coat for a soldier. Let's look at another coat. When you come to Romans chapter 13, Romans chapter 13, find another coat. And here down this chapter, at the very last verse 14, it says this. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a coat for the saint. A coat for the saint. Another translation renders it, but put on Christ the way you would put on a garment or a coat. What does it mean when it says put on Christ? What does it mean? How do we put on Christ? I think we get the answer to that if you turn over in your Bible to Paul's letter to the Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 3 here, you remember that Paul is talking about the things that we need to put off. We need to put off the things of the flesh. And he talks about the things that we need to put on. We need to put on the new man. And he says this in verse 12. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God. This is what we need to put on, brethren and sisters, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And you know, friends, when you look at all those virtues, you get a picture of Christ's life. Mercy. We see mercy in his life. We see kindness. We see humbleness of mind. We see meekness, humility. We see long-suffering and all these other things. May we get a picture of Christ's life. And when these virtues are seen in you and I, when we put on these things, we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a Christ-likeness seen in this. Why, when you go into the office in the morning, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go into the factory, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you go into school or into college, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, this is a coat of sanctification. What a lovely coat for the believer to wear. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, a coat for a saint. Get another one if you turn to 1 Peter, just over a page or two there, looking at these coats that God has given us this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. And that's a coat for a servant. Coat for a servant. The greatest servant that ever lived was our Savior. He washed his disciples' feet. He took a towel and girded himself and washed their feet. He humbled himself. He took the lowly place. What an example he leaves us. My dear friends, humility is one of the most beautiful garments that we could put on. My dear friends, if we took the humble place, there would be less contention and bitterness and more love and harmony. And one of the most beautiful things in a believer's life is humility. And one of the most detestable things is pride. It's a coat for the servant. And the last one this morning is found in the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 61. Chapter 61. And saith here in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And this is a coat for a soul in the storm. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, trials and troubles and sorrows and sickness and storms, we all get our turn of them. None of us escape. And the garment of praise is a great garment to wear when the going gets hard. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And when we wear it, the world sees us as trees of righteousness, bringing glory to God. Man, we see Job wearing the garment of praise. When Job lost his family, man, it says he fell down and worshipped, and he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was wearing the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The apostles, my, when they were scourged, it says they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were wearing the garment of praise. Paul and Silas in the prison, when they sang praises unto the Lord, they were wearing the garment of praise. Some years ago, when I was laboring up in Kilkeel, a lady who was dying in the city hospital called her family round her bed. It was a big family. And she called her family round her bed, and as they gathered round her bed, she thanked God for using her illness to bring her family closer together. She put on the garment of praise. That was grace. That was grace. Dear friends, these are some of the coats that God has given us to wear. May we put them on this morning. Let's not keep them hidden away in some of the cupboards of our lives. Let's get the cupboards open and put on these coats as we go out into the days that come. And just as Jacob gave to Joseph a coat of many colors because of the great love that he had for him, our Heavenly Father, because of the great love that he has for you and me, has given to us many coats. May we thank God for the many coats he has given us. And let's make sure we put them on. Let's dress up for God in these days in which we live. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning.